Boy, I'm stumped on these recently.
That's Martha and George. I don't know.
The Washingtons?
Yes. That's the group.
Good. Nice. Good, Andy.
They've been around for a long time.
Yeah, a real long time.
You know, I was
before Stephen Foster even wrote the song.
Or you did,
or
actually.
I did.
That's your
yeah.
song. You yeah. wrote it. You get all the royalties.
That's actually public domain now. But,
no, you are a millionaire. You wrote the song.
Well, that's news to me.
No, it's not. It's a Schwanee song. It's all about you, Mr. Schwanee and Andy.
On this glorious morning.
Yeah, that's the thing. So I was very privileged. I was able to go to the game last night, and I don't live far from there. I live in the neighborhood, and the good news is people celebrated from the best I can tell, and the newsman will verify. From the best I can tell, people celebrated and had a great time, but didn't destroy the neighborhood.
No, we have one report of one arrest. Someone tried to climb a light pole. Not surprising.
Someone?
So,
I saw more than one someone climb
well,
a light
only
pole.
Only one was
one
arrested.
Got caught, yeah.
One got caught.
You know, in fact, what they did is that these people would climb a light pole, then take a picture of everyone down on the street, put the phone in their pocket, and then dive down from the light pole into the crowd, which I don't really believe is a very good idea.
No. No,
wouldn't recommend
not.
It, no.
No, no. So this is going to be an interesting series, Andy. I mean, the Cleveland Indians, a team that I'm not sure, and you're the expert here,
okay.
that people at the beginning of the season would have said would have been in the World Series, a team that also hasn't been in the series in more than a few years. And it's kind of an all Midwest series, too. So geographically.
That kind of it is.
Yeah, yeah. So
Great Lakes series, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think, Mr. Mazur?
Well, I think you're right on the first spot there with the fact that I don't think anybody really expected the Indians to be there at this particular point. But Terry Francona is their manager. He knows a whole lot about Theo Epstein. They were together in Boston winning World Series titles in 2004 and 2007. And the Indians made a big move at the trade deadline like the Cubs did for relief pitcher Andrew Miller, left-hander who was named the American League Championship Series MVP. So it'll be interesting because they have a young shortstop by the name of Francisco Lindor who has this is going to be a great series if you like young, flashy, talented infielders because the Cubs have a couple and they have at least one.
Who's going to be the starter for the Cubs, Arrieta?
You know, we were talking about this last night. It might make sense because with the game not being until Tuesday, John Lester would be on his normal rest. So there's a possibility that Lester starts game one, Arrieta would start game two, and then the first game at Wrigley Field will be started by none other than the king of Wrigley Field, the professor, Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, I'm not sure which player, I think it was Ross who said, but I'm not sure who said, let's all thank the professor.
Yeah.
I mean, the crowd went crazy.
I felt bad for him when Madden pulled him.
Yeah.
They
weren't taking any chances.
No, I know. But, you know, I was hoping that they would let the professor pitch a complete game.
Yeah, the only hits he gave up were on his very first pitch.
The very first
and his
one.
Last pitch.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah.
That was incredible. So we compare.
Two-hitter.
So we know Cleveland has a great closer. We know the Cubs have a great closer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
How about the starting pitching of the Cubs compared to the Indians?
You know, I think the Cubs is still deeper, but Corey Kluber was the reigning American League Cy Young Award winner. He'll probably start in game one. So they have some better pitching than the Dodgers. The Dodgers pitching staff was in disarray because of the five-game series that they had against the Nationals. Really taxed them a bit, and I think really sapped the life out of Clayton Kershaw, who was not the same pitcher here in Game 6 as he was in Game 2. That is for sure.
Now, I don't know that you could hear it on TV, but the crowd was chanting.
Oh, yeah, they were Kershawing him, weren't they?
Explain what that is.
Yeah, just the taunt, Kershaw. And it's supposed to, you know, get into the pitcher's head. I doubt he heard it. He might have heard it. I doubt that affected him. What really affected him was, again, what affected him in game two, but the Cubs weren't able to take advantage of the fact that he didn't have his best pitch, and that was a curveball.
So we live, I don't know, less than a mile from there, about two-thirds of a mile maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we walked home. And in walking home, we went by one of the establishments that I was going to go into because I knew the bars right around Wrigley would be packed, of course. So right. We were going to go to this place, which is just a little bit off the beaten path. And I know the manager because he sees us walk by with our dogs all the time. And he gives our dogs cookies, by the way, every time we go by with the dogs. So the dogs actually pull us into the bar when we are with the dogs. So I saw him and he said, and my wife commented about this too, you could hear the crowd more than, I mean, you know, normally you hear the Wrigley Field crowd. You hear the seventh inning stretch, winning or losing. It doesn't matter. You hear kind of what's going on, and you get a sense, if you're listening, for how the game is going.
Mm-hmm.
It was louder than ever. My cousin, who was with me, great guy, he said he thought he was at a rock concert by the volume. Did that come across on TV?
It came
it
across on TV.
Did.
Yes, it did.
Yes.
And it was interesting because the first baseman for the Dodgers, Adrian Gonzalez, had some words for the Wrigley Field fans after Game 5 saying that it was going to be the same place they went to in Game 2. Not really all that much louder than Dodger Stadium. He's never heard it really loud. And I think the fans kind of took that as a bit of an insult. And, you know, obviously with a chance to go to the World Series, really revved it up.
All right. Well, Andy, I know you'll be here all morning with sports, and Mr. Schwanee will be providing the news all morning long. But you know what, guys? I think I have a show to do. Thank you very much.
18 minutes, my friend.
Have a good one.
All 18 minutes. Thank you.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, Dr. Bill Folger is on the phone. First of all, I apologize, Dr. Folger, because, I mean, you can't help but to talk about the Chicago Cubs if you happen to be anywhere near Chicago. So I hope you understand that.
I do.
Yeah, Dr. Folger and I are about to talk about a very serious topic, actually. It was about 3 years or so ago, and I'm pretty active on Facebook. So there I am just working on whatever I'm working on, and all these Facebook posts come across that people are sharing with me. They're instant messaging me on Facebook telling me, look at this. Can you believe it? And at first, I thought it was a hoax. It was a picture of a woman, we didn't know who she was at the time, holding a cat, saying that she was proud, and this is my version of what she said, but in essence, saying, I am proud I shot this cat. Turns out very quickly, we discovered this woman, Dr. Kristen Lindsay, is a veterinarian. So it made the news. It made national and international news. Certainly, it continued to go, as they say, viral online. And she was soon fired from her job in Texas. The American Veterinary Medical Association, American Animal Hospital Association, all these organizations within organized veterinary medicine said they were appalled, again, my words, but by this action that they do not support Dr. Lindsay. American Association of Feline Practitioners is another, an organization you have long been involved with, and that is where we pick up the story with you. But before we do, Dr. Folger, first off, you are the first, I think this is the first media you've done. I appreciate that. And I think it takes a lot of courage, and you'll hear why, friends, for Dr. Folger to talk about this because you were so involved in the case. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text us at that same number, 312-981-7200, because I'm sure you all have comments on this. So let's pick up the story from there, Dr. Folger. How did you get involved?
By the way, thank you for inviting me. I actually was standing outside my doctor's office when I got a cell phone call from the attorney for the state board of the veterinary board of Texas, and she asked me if I was familiar with what had happened, and I, of course, said yes, and because I'd already posted a blog post about my shock at the, you know, the whole Facebook thing. So she asked me if I would be willing to look over some of the evidence that they had presented at Chris and Lindsay's hearing, at which they actually revoked her license, but she appealed that revocation, and I said, well, sure. And further on, she asked me some of the standard questions about my credentials and my past involvement in animal and especially feline welfare issues, which, Steve, you're familiar with some of those.
Yes.
And so I told her yes, that I would be glad to look at the evidence and give her an expert opinion. And further on in the conversation, she asked if I was amenable to be the expert witness in the trial against Chris and Lindsay, and I said yes with one stipulation. I will look at the evidence, I will form an opinion, but I cannot allow you to influence my opinion. And she said, well, you know, we have no interest in influencing your opinion. And so that's kind of how I got started in this. And I think it was a couple of months later, I received some of the documentation, but I didn't receive the entire packet of evidence until 2 or 3, maybe 4 weeks before the trial.
Now I'm going to
That's how I got into this.
I'm going to fast forward the clock a lot here. So as time goes by, and there are several different hearings, and along the way, by the way, Dr. Lindsay is also in the news yet again for allegedly driving drunk, having nothing directly to do with this case, but makes the news again. And very recently, what was it, this past week, very recently, the Texas board said, we are eliminating your veterinary license, suspending it for 1 year. You must go to some extra continuing education. You'll be on suspension for a while. In other words, we'll watch you. But that's all. And several of us on the sidelines thought, well, you know what? This is absolutely opposed to the veterinary oath. And we're very surprised that her license was not revoked altogether. And in fact, 312-981-7200, I have some texts that already have come in that have asked me to ask you, why was her license not revoked?
Steve, I honestly don't know the answer to that because I wasn't privy to those conversations, the recent ones with the state board. Here's what I can tell you for me personally. In the testimony in the original trial that I testified in, the owner of Tiger was asked why she did not file charges against Chris and Lindsay.
Now, I'm stopping you there only to clarify. So Tiger is the cat she shot. Originally, Originally, she said it was a feral cat, meaning it's okay to shoot feral cats, which you and I will talk about in a moment. We both agreed, no, it's not. But it was an owned cat on top of it all. So go ahead from there.
Okay, Tiger was actually owned by her neighbor, right across the road from her. And the trial court did conclude that this was indeed Tiger that was hanging on the end of the arrow in the Facebook post. So in the testimony, they asked Claire Johnson why she did not file charges against Kristen. And I have to tell you, Steve, I was frozen and awestruck by her answer. But she said, you know, we don't have any desire to permanently injure Dr. Lindsay or her career, but we do want her to be held accountable. And I do think that the state board wanted to revoke her license, and they did originally, but when the judgment, the proposed decision from the judges came down, they said, look, let's suspend her license for a year and put her on probation for an additional 4 years. I think that decision, honestly, was consistent with the owner's answer. And I have to say she was very spiritual about it and exercising a lot of forgiveness. in her own heart for it. And even though I think the judgment still was not substantial enough, I do think it's consistent with Claire Johnson's answer. So that's I don't know what the current state board's decision was, but what I can tell you is there are multiple lawsuits going on. Brian Bishop, Chris and Lindsay's attorney, sued the state and lost that lawsuit. He's filed an appeal with the Third Circuit Court of Appeals here in Texas. So there are a lot of legal maneuverings going on, but I think the state board thought that the decision issued by the administrative judges was considerate and fair and fair-minded. And even though they may have disagreed with it, I think that they were satisfied that that was going to be enough.
Well, according to the text that I'm receiving from all of you listening, it's hardly enough. Of course, some of the texts have nothing to do with any of this, Dr. Folger, but rather the Chicago Cubs. It is, what can I say? It's a very special morning in Chicago. 8 minutes before 6 o'clock on WGN. We'll continue with Dr. Bill Folger next, as I want to talk about, this was a feral cat that was shot. It was not a feral cat. It was an owned cat. But under the assumption it was a feral cat, should it have made any difference at all? You'll hear what Dr. Folger has to say. Talking to Dr. Bill Folger. Dr. Folger, I apologize. We're just getting really tight on time here. Many text. One says, and I won't get to them all, and I apologize to all of you for that. Didn't a mother and daughter kill their cat a couple of years ago and got half the time off? Well, this is who we're talking about, right? The mom was involved.
The mother, it's my understanding that the mother actually took the photograph that was posted on Facebook. That's correct.
All right. Now, it turned out to be an owned cat named Tiger. If it were a feral cat, do you think, in your expert opinion, should it have made a difference? Your opinion and also the Texas law.
My opinion is it wouldn't have mattered at all, especially for a veterinarian to have killed the cat. The Texas law is pretty clear that it's illegal in Texas to hunt and kill any cat, feral, unowned, abandoned, or owned. So it really didn't matter whether Tiger was her neighbor's cat or not. It was still illegal according to Texas state law, as far as I understand it.
You've been a veterinarian and a well-respected one for many years, for decades. When you heard about this, were you as appalled, and this is my last question, as we all were?
Steve, I was shocked. I said this in court. I could not believe that a colleague would kill a cat in a inhumane and barbaric and cruel manner. It was just beyond my comprehension.
Yeah, I understand. I will be talking to you more about all this. I'm grateful that you came on with us, particularly so early in the morning. Dr. Bill Folger, thank you so very much.
Steve, thank you. Have a good day, and congratulations on the Cubs.
Thank you. As we roll by 7 o'clock on Chicago's very own, Cubs' very own, we are hashtag Chicago Proud of the Chicago Cubs.